Support for the South Carolina Lead is made possible in part by AARP. The coronavirus continues to affect us all, keeping us apart, but we don't have to be alone. AARP is here in South Carolina, providing information that can help you and your family. Click to connect at aarp.org/sc.
Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust the Lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we've been doing that more often as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on June 26, 2020, from my home studio in Columbia. Just so you know, some of the information in this podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it. This podcast cuts through the noise and gives you South Carolina-specific COVID-19 news and stories. This episode features a look at the cities that are and aren't issuing face mask requirements, along with the governor's thoughts on the matter. We catch you up on the latest broadband expansion efforts, including what internet maps in your area look like. An MUSC doctor tells us when you should go to the hospital for COVID-19 symptoms. And Dr. Anthony Fauci reminds us that you taking a risk is not isolated just to you. Additionally, we want to hear your stories, so we set up a voicemail box to hear from you all about your daily life in these uncertain times. Leave us a one-minute-long voicemail with your name, where you're calling from, and what's going on in your world at 803-563-7169. Let us know if you're out there working, if you're going out to eat, if you're working at a restaurant, if you're dealing with people face-to-face every day. If you've had COVID-19, experienced symptoms, or been tested, let us know. We want to know what your experience has been like. We're at 803-563-7169. Now for the latest in South Carolina. Currently, the spread of COVID-19 is widespread and not contained, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control officials. There have been 694 deaths, and currently there are 30,263 cases being reported in all 46 counties as of June 26 at 4 p.m. That's right, we have reached and surpassed the 30,000 case mark. Also, 906 South Carolinians infected with COVID-19 are hospitalized across the state. This is a new record high and incredibly worrisome number. And later on in the podcast, I mentioned cities that have passed mask ordinances. Well, after we finished taping, Spartanburg City Council unanimously passed a measure requiring masks in grocery stores, pharmacies, and on public buses. Employees at those establishments, as well as restaurants, retail stores, and salons, must wear masks as well. If they're not, they could face a $100 fine, whereas people in grocery stores or pharmacies not wearing a mask starting Monday could be fined up to $25. Charleston has become the latest city to pass an ordinance requiring people to wear masks in public. The requirement takes effect on July 1st, and those failing to comply will face a $50 fine. Mount Pleasant, Myrtle Beach, and Florence councils are also contemplating mask requirements. Goose Creek's council rejected an ordinance, and Scott Morgan with South Carolina Public Radio brings us the latest from Rock Hill.
With one of the highest density populations in the state and about 450 reported COVID cases so far, the question of when or if Rock Hill will require masks in public is growing more common. But Mayor John Geddes says that given the geography of the city, the decision to mandate masks is better made by York County.
As the city is a portion of the county and some businesses are actually in a donut hole, I think the city coming up with that ordinance exclusive of the county would be very difficult.
A spokeswoman for York County says there are no plans to mandate face masks for residents or visitors at this time. Mayor Geddes and county officials do, however, encourage wearing them and recommend following safe social distancing and good hygiene measures as outlined by DHEC and the CDC.
Vince Colblugo spoke with Columbia Mayor Steve Benjamin about the city's mask ordinance.
So hopefully the law itself won't be the only reason that people are doing something, but people really understand that the significant urgent situation that's before us that required us to act is underscoring the grave situation that we're facing, and people will lead with personal responsibility and wear a mask. So I hope we won't have any violations at all.
Now, getting to a little more pessimism, what do you have to say to someone who says that you're trampling on their rights or this might be an overreach by the city?
I'm a South Carolinian, you know, so we have an incredible libertarian streak that is linear. It runs from those who are very progressive to those who are very conservative. We have a very don't tread on me mentality, and I I can understand and identify with that. But I'll also say that we have an incredible responsibility to one another. I would encourage people to know to recognize that not only are we following our heads and data and good data that has given us the direction on this public policy change, but more importantly, we're being driven by our hearts.
On Tuesday, Governor Henry McMaster did not rule out a future statewide mask requirement. Here's his response to the question, and then a back and forth with AP reporter Jeffrey Collins on McMaster's own mask usage.
We are not to that point. That could happen in the future, but that's not. We don't foresee that. We believe that these measures will work.
Governor?
Yes, sir.
Do you wish you might have worn a mask more in April and May and emphasized it more so maybe people would get over this kind of personal aversion that a lot of people have about wearing masks?
Well, the only places I went were to, as I explained one time to folks, was to the Emergency Management Division and then back to the house. That was about the only places I go now. But I take a mask with me, and when on the very limited occasions when I'm out, I wear a mask.
Well, the emphasis on masks didn't start until maybe June or so, maybe a little bit in May. I mean, there was talk about it, but the real big emphasis, do you think the state might have missed an opportunity to nip this increase in the bud by maybe?
No, because the use of a mask, effectiveness of the various masks, which of course differ, was a subject that was brought up, I believe, in every single conference that we had.
What it all comes down to, folks, is just wear a mask in public. I know I have forgotten mine occasionally, though I was outside when I didn't have it on. But put that mask on, folks. Wear your seatbelt while driving. Brush your teeth twice a day. Wear a helmet while riding a bike. Don't smoke. Get 30 minutes of exercise a day. Don't do drugs. Eat right. Drink in moderation. Which one of these things makes me a sheep again? Wear the mask. Heads up to those who are unemployed. The South Carolina Department of Employment and Workforce said that the CARES Act Pandemic Unemployment Compensation Program, which provides an additional $600 a week to claimants, is set to expire in 1 month. After July 25th, claimants will only receive a weekly benefit amount, which maxes out at $326 per week. Now, this news comes as we see another decrease in initial claims for insurance benefits. For claim week ending June 20th, the number of South Carolinians who filed their initial claim was 17,098. That was a decrease of 2,268 initial claims from the week prior. And let's get back into a discussion that we really can't go a week without talking about, and that's broadband internet expansion. State lawmakers this week approved millions of dollars in federal CARES Act money for a plan, initial infrastructure, and mobile hotspots, with more money for infrastructure forthcoming. Now, at the federal level, Congressman Jim Clyburn continues to push the measure and held a conference call earlier this week with internet mapping experts, Superintendent of Education Molly Spearman, and others. Clyburn said next week, Congress will vote on a $100 billion broadband infrastructure bill that his Rural Broadband Task Force wrote to bring broadband internet access to every home in America over the next decade.
If we do not act immediately, we risk losing an entire generation. But in order to solve this problem, we need to understand how best to target resources. As I studied the rural urban internet access disparity, the issue of maps kept coming up. People kept telling me, we can't spend any money in rural America until we have better maps. And while I don't completely agree with that sentiment, that's what many people were telling me. So rather than just keep talking, I and my staff decided to act. I asked the leadership at Oklahoma, the owners of the Speed Test website, which collects data on internet usage, to work with Jim Strickzinger, an engineer and a South Carolina native, to combine the public and private data and create some new maps. I am very pleased to report that collaboration has been a great success. South Carolina now has what we believe to be some of the most accurate and up-to-date broadband maps in the country.
You can find those maps by county and region and download them for free from scdigitaldrive.com. Superintendent Spearman said 160,000 households with at least one student don't have internet access in the state. And without increased access, she fears there will be a lost generation.
I remember my father passed away last year, 92 years old, and he often told me that story about the first light bulb that came on way out here in the country. I live right on the same land now, and the difference that the co-op bringing electricity to rural Saluda County, how the difference that made. So about a year and a half ago, I experienced that saying, the next greatest need of high-speed internet, because I would not be able to be on this call today with you, Congressman, were it not for my electric cooperative, Mid-Carolina Cooperative, going forward with high-speed internet service. And that's how I'm participating today. And my husband's right in the next room on high-speed internet as well. So this is the great disparity that we have now.
So yes, just again, like we always say, there's a big need for better internet access in the state. And you can see just how bad it is by checking out the internet speed maps at scdigitaldrive.com. So let's say you've tested positive for COVID-19 and you feel like trash, you're fatigued and achy, maybe you have shortness of breath, maybe it's a little bit worse, and you wonder, should I go to the emergency room? Well, Dr. Dustin LeBlanc, an attending physician in the emergency department at MUSC and the medical director for emergency preparedness at the hospital, tells us what symptoms to look for.
So while COVID can cause a large constellation of symptoms, the primary symptoms that we're concerned about have to do with the respiratory status of a patient. So specifically, shortness of breath is the one that causes the greatest concern, as it can indicate some decompensated respiratory failure. So any patient that's experiencing severe shortness of breath, blue discoloration, low oxygen levels, or chest pain should seek care immediately.
So now you know what to look for and when to go. But what about when you shouldn't go to the ER?
So the majority of COVID symptoms are relatively minor and don't cause severe long-term complications. This can include fever, runny nose, sore throat, typical cold-like symptoms. Additionally, patients that are just concerned about exposure should not seek care in the emergency department. We don't do routine testing in the emergency department for patients with minor symptoms. So patients that are just concerned about having been exposed or needing to get tested should go through our telehealth platform at musc.care and then enter one of our many testing sites.
And of course, don't put off going to the hospital if you have an illness or condition that requires medical attention. Hospitals are prepared to handle both patients with COVID-19 and those without it safely. Now for a voice we haven't heard from in a while. On Friday, for the first time in roughly 2 months, the White House Coronavirus Task Force held a televised press conference, and Dr. Anthony Fauci broke down the interconnected threat and how differently this virus affects people.
We have such an unusual situation because of all of the decades that I've been involved in chasing infectious diseases. I've never seen anything that is so protean in its ability to make people sick or not. There's no other infectious disease that goes from 40% of the people having no symptoms to some having mild symptoms, to some having severe, some requiring staying at home for weeks, some going to the hospital, some getting intensive care, some getting intubated, some getting ventilated, and some dying. So that depending on where you are in that spectrum, you have a different attitude to this particular thing. But anyone who gets infected or is at risk of getting infected, to a greater or less degree, is part of the dynamic process of the outbreak. And I know because I can understand when I was at a stage in my life when I said, well, I'm invulnerable, so I'm going to take a risk. I think what we're missing in this is something that we've never faced before, is that a risk for you is not just isolated to you. Because if you get infected, you are part, innocently or inadvertently, of propagating the dynamic process of a pandemic. Because the chances are that if you get infected, that you're going to infect someone else. And although you may feel well, and because we know, if you look at the numbers that you'll probably hear later on, The overwhelming majority now of people getting infected are young people, likely the people that you see in the clips and in the paper who are out in crowds enjoying themselves, understandably. No blame there, understandably. But the thing that you really need to realize that when you do that, you are part of a process. So if you get infected, you will infect someone else who clearly will infect someone else. We know that happens because the reproduction element of the virus is not less than one. So people are infecting other people. And then ultimately, you will infect someone who's vulnerable. Now, that may be somebody's grandmother, grandfather, uncle who's on chemotherapy, aunt who's on radiation or chemotherapy, or a child who has leukemia. So there is what I call, and again, I just want to bring this out without making it seem that anybody's at fault. You have an individual responsibility to yourself, but you have a societal responsibility. Because if we want to end this outbreak, really end it, and then hopefully when a vaccine comes and puts the nail in the coffin, we've got to realize that we are part of the process.
So, like Dr. Fauci said, anyone who gets infected is part of the dynamic process of this outbreak. A risk to you is not isolated to you. So it's been so long since we've heard that raspy voice of wisdom. And again, you have a responsibility, people. So wear your mask, socially distance, and avoid large crowds. Wash your hands too, jeez. Just an update, the spider is still alive. It's cohabitating in my home. Now, this is our wind down section where we want to hear from you. Tell us what's going on in your world. Are you at work? Are you working from home? Are you going on vacation? Have you been sick with COVID-19? Do you know someone who has? Tell us your stories. Tell us what's happening in your world. What do these numbers mean to you? Do you think we should have a mask requirement statewide? Tell us at 803-563-7169. Leave us your name, where you're calling from, and just your thoughts on what's going on right now. Things are escalating, obviously. Things are widespread, out of control. Not my words, just what we've been hearing from professionals about the situation. So tell us what's happening with you, 803-563-7169. You might just get on the pod. That being said, AT, do we have any voicemails?
We do. We have another first-timer.
Ooh. Let's hear it.
Let's roll the tape.
Roll the tape.
Roll the tape.
Is the tape rolling?
Hey, Gavin and AT, what were you doing? Thanks again for providing such a great news source. I'm just finishing up grocery shopping in Colombia, and especially in light of what you were talking about with young people getting the coronavirus a lot more, one thing I wanted to emphasize about mask wearing, which thankfully was largely being done in the grocery store where I was, is that wearing a mask, especially the like cloth masks and bandanas, isn't just about protecting you. Like, its primary benefit is protecting others. So if you're a young person feeling like, oh, well, I'm not worried about getting sick, it's not actually just about that. It's about making sure you're not spreading it to other people. And if you're someone with like an N95 mask or something with an exhaust like port, like make sure to put tape over that, because that's the only thing that you can do with that mask to protect others. So please keep wearing masks. Please keep other people safe. And Gavin and AT, thanks for being a great news source. All right, bye.
Well, we didn't get your name there, Mask Shopper, so we'll call you Mask Shopper. Thank you for that. Thank you for making a good point there with everyone needing to wear masks out and about while they grocery shop. I mean, that's the one place I definitely don't forget to wear my mask.
No.
You know, like I said, sometimes when I'm outside, you know, even during the Calhoun statue situation, I didn't have it on all the time, but I was definitely socially distanced. I was in Marion Square, stuck in the middle of that place for hours. And so I was, I maintained my distance, even though these random people would walk up to you and they start telling you about things. You're like, okay, thank you, sir. Anyway, that's just.
So Gavin.
Yes.
Gavin.
Go
Gavin,
ahead.
You have some big news, right? You listened to me.
I did. I always listen to you like and 9 times out of 6.
You
took your recommendation. Yeah. I don't dispute your viewing recommendations. I mean, I even watched, what was the freak show?
Dune,
the David Lynch. I was more interested just to see the aesthetic with David Lynch, and of course,
it's
like
wild
Kyle
stuff.
MacLachlan. It was all like people that were in Twin Peaks too. It's so, mm-hmm. It's so
very
goofy.
Weird.
But I did watch Castle Rock.
Thoughts?
I loved it. I'm into it. I'm like 5 episodes in. first season. Wanted to stay up later last night, but I said, no, Gavin, you got a big day tomorrow.
Gavin, your parents are going to be angry.
Your parents are going to be super upset. Can't do it. You just slept in a park the night before. They're still mad about that.
So, you didn't clear that with them.
I don't live with my parents, just so everyone knows. I can go out if I want to.
So you liked.
Yeah, it was totally cool. It's like, if you haven't watched The Outsider, like we previously talked about a couple months ago on HBO, it's very much like that, but not as intense, I would say. Not as fast paced, but this is just, it's freaky enough and it keeps you interested the whole time.
It's got that same Stephen King sort of
dread.
I don't know. Yeah,
it's not even dread. It's just like suspenseful dread. I mean, it's very.
It's just this aesthetic of, you know, like something weird is going to happen, and I don't know what it is because this guy's a freak.
And that town just sounds so miserable. I mean, it's just
that they actually did a great job of catching the vibe of small town Maine as someone with many Mainers. I have a lot of Mainers in my family, and that's what it's like. That's honestly a huge town for Maine. But that's neither here nor there because we have huge news. If you're listening to this, it's Saturday, or at least that's when it came out for the first time. And that also means one of our other favorite shows is coming back. Dark on Netflix, season 3, final season, is back. I will probably have already watched it by the time everyone has listened to this because I'm stoked, but probably not really because my wife can only ever watch one episode of anything
my wife.
Stop. So I'm pretty stoked. If you guys haven't watched this show, it is one of the craziest shows I have ever seen. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. It's some weird German time travel cave show.
You know, you got mad at me when I said time travel the first time as if it was a ruiner because you don't find out till season 2. But, you know, no big deal, guys.
I mean, the only reason I'm saying is because you did already ruin for the hardcore lead heads.
So there's a big time travel thing. But it's totally awesome. You know, and it's dubbed well. So you don't even like worry about it. And it's just it keeps you interested the whole damn time, too.
It's the first time I ever enjoyed a dub. I've never liked a dub before, but this is good. It's a really great show, and I have no idea how it's going to resolve.
Seriously. I mean, like, it's all over the place in a good way. You know, with everything going on with these record cases, these record numbers, you know, good thing that there's more content back on Netflix because we're not going anywhere anytime
soon,
per se.
Stay inside, watch sci-fi, read books, everyone watch Dune. Everyone should watch it. It's a mess.
You know, you need to give me that books, like the books, so I can read them.
Yes, you do. I can hook you up.
Now that I've watched that incredible version of David.
If anyone is looking, if anyone's looking for a good space opera, hit your boy up. I got him on deck.
Space opera. Also, what's everyone doing for July 4th? Since like there's no fireworks anywhere, I'm very interested.
I am going to shoot off fireworks. Okay, I'm going to do it.
Okay,
I'm going to shoot off fireworks because
going
to
do it.
As a northerner who moved to the South, shooting off these real deal fireworks is about the coolest thing I've ever done. I mean, I thought I knew what fireworks were, and then the stuff that you could buy down here
you just
is
caught
crazy.
Yourself. You just caught yourself from.
I caught myself. I didn't curse.
The stuff that you can buy down here, it's like when we
it's
talk.
Crazy.
To, it's so, like when it's we like, talk to present to like when we present at schools
to children. Yeah, I know.
You're like,
but you can buy ordnance in South Carolina, but that's neither here nor there. Let's wrap it up.
Yeah, I was gonna say they probably should just put something in that statue, get it loose the other day, but they just clear cut it so. Keeping it safe. Yeah, we'll see what I'm doing for July 4th. I always like to tag my birthday on two Americas that weekend. So,
you're jealous.
Again, just a little subtle note that my birthday is coming up July 8th. So, you guys, whatever, you know, like a review or like something in the mail, whatever. Just
diamonds.
1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia. Okay, that being said, thank you again for being such a dedicated lead listener and tuning into our pod. You can keep up with the latest SC news on SCETV.org and SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. They are out there in the thick of this as well, hustling and getting you that news that you can use. We are here for you, our lead community, throughout this week. And as this situation continues to develop, it's not going anywhere, folks. We are in full-scale hashtag lead, laugh, love mode together. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina. Okay, let's see here. Hello, welcome to the... beep, 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 beep. 1, 2, 3, 4, hot, hot, hot. Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead.